You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and because I'm on my annual summer beach vacay, I wanted to share some summer reading from my book with you right now. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. So, you know I wrote a book, right? Well, even though it's a cooking one, I was able to stuff more words in it than I do spinach and smoothies. And this episode, which I'm recording just before I go on my annual summer beach vacation, where I'll be glued to sand and books for 3 weeks, I wanted to read some of the words in my book to you all about cravings. So obviously, if this tickles your fancy, by the way, did you know that my second AIM screen name, the one after my first one, Green Apple Girly, was Tickle Me Talia? I was so on brand even back then. But you have my full permission to go purchase Party in Your Plants, 100 plus plant-based recipes and problem-solving strategies to help you eat healthier without hating your life, anywhere books are safely and sanitarily sold. PartyInYourPlants.com will take you to all the major retailers, or you can just hop your fingers on over to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, or Walmart and buy yourself and your best friend a copy today. That's PartyInYourPlants.com to grab a copy or 19 of my book that an Amazon reader said, "I've been following Talia for at least a few years and was so excited to hear about her book, and it did not disappoint. I've purchased cookbooks from chefs I admire before, but this is the first book I actually regularly cook from. That's because her recipes are easy, simple, approachable, healthy, and most importantly, her words, not mine, delicious. She comes across in the book just like she does on her podcast and Instagram. Funny, fun, authentic, and informative. I'm vegan," she's saying this, "and would highly recommend this to all my friends, vegans and non-vegans alike. I love this book." Thank you. I love that review. Oh, and quickly, I'd like to say thank you to our sponsor today, which is a thing that my body naturally craves all the time. Four Sigmatic Shroom Powders and Products. I'm already so hooked on their magic mushrooms of many varieties. In the winter, I love their hot tea-like packets, but here in the summer, I'm all about their lattes, which come in packets that I dump into a blender with some almond milk and water and a little honey and blend up and then pour over ice. They have three that I could drink by the gallon. They're golden milk lattes with turkey tail mushrooms, which support your immune system, chai lattes with reishi mushrooms, which are stress-less mushrooms, and matcha with lion's mane, which is great for lighting up the brain. They are all heaven in a ball jar with a metal straw. But I'm in the midst of getting my coffee-addicted family, with whom I am on vacation, as hooked on Four Sigs Shroomy Coffees, since they're so much smarter for your whole body than non-Four Sigmatic coffees. I've brought a big bag of ground mushroom coffee with lion's mane with me on vacation for my fam to enjoy in the coffee machine and for me to judge them less for having multiple cups of a day. I feel a lot less icky about them drinking this coffee since it's obviously organic, fair trade, vegan, and since they swoop their shrooms into the mix, the lion's mane and chaga that Four Sigmatic infuses into their coffee keeps the caffeine under control to support clean, focused energy without the crashes, which is a blessing because a family vacation is hard enough without the caffeine crazies, if you know what I mean. Because you listen to this podcast, thank you so much for that, by the way. You can save 15% off of any and all Four Sigmatic shroom stuff you'll want off their site, foursigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just type in Four Sigmatic, that's spelled out F-O-U-R, Sigmatic, SIGMATIC.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS for the automatic 15 off. Wahoo! Okay, so what I'm about to read to you is from part 5 of my book, Party in Your Plants, titled Plant Partying for Your Deepest Desires, or just your cravings. Cravings, your sixth sense. My cravings get the best of me. Plants don't fulfill my cravings. It gives me anxiety to think that I will have to suppress my cravings forever. The way people talk about cravings implies they're an all-powerful force, like the dead people that Haley Joel Osment cannot see in the sixth sense. The thing is, I believe cravings are your sixth sense, but not a legit scapegoat for eating an entire bag of chocolate chips. They're also not a sign of weakness. Just like Haley Joel Osment was able to talk to the ghost of a young Misha Barton whose mom had poisoned her and then expose said mom, saving Misha's younger sister from being her next victim, you can talk to your cravings and save yourself from being a supersized bag of kettle corn's next target. Cravings are our body's way of telling us something. They're like our internal Twitter. We have to stop scrolling our feed and actually pause and read or listen to what our cravings are saying. Here's how these conversations usually go. Hey, cutie. Positive self-talk is always a plus. What am I craving? Something sweet, salty, creamy, chocolatey, carby, or something specific? I pay extra close attention to specific cravings. If it's a brand or a flavor of a bar or a processed healthy snack that I'm dreaming of multiple days in a row, I take that as a sign that I'm overdoing it and even creating an addiction. If it's an apple or a bowl of carrot sticks, I take that as a sign that I've been feeding my body well. If you're for reals hungry, you won't food discriminate. Pretty much anything will satisfy you. But if you've got a craving, only a specific food or type of food will calm you down. So the next thing I say is, what am I up to? Am I browsing cookie recipes on Pinterest? And shocker, am I now craving cookies? If so, I know this is a BS craving and I laugh at myself, curse Pinterest, and go cuddle with my dog. Or am I trying to finish some important emails and can't stop salivating for something salty? That might mean I'm dehydrated, so time to chug-a-lug-a some agua. We can have memory cravings too. My second semester sophomore year of college, I would watch How I Met Your Mother while getting ready for class and eating toaster waffles. The next semester, I moved to California, got enlightened about plants, and switched my breakfast to smoothies. But to this day, every time I start to bop to that How I Met Your Mother theme song, or was that The Office? I start aggressively craving those toaster waffles too. The next thing I'll ask is, what's going on right now? Am I stressed or lonely, bored, sad, nervous, mad? You may be craving stuff to fill an emotional void, but spoiler alert, it won't work. Am I tired? Like a car, we can run out of gas and need to pull over from whatever we're doing to refill our energy sources, and that can lead to cravings. Am I way past overdue for lunch? You might be focused on finishing work so you can take a half day Friday, but your body didn't forget about its need to fuel. Could I be dehydrated? Thirst is a tricky sensation. We often don't experience it until we're already on the verge of dehydration, which can be masked under a feeling of mild hunger. Have I eaten lots of crap today? Reminder to you, listener, crap is chemical, refined, artificial, processed food. Eating crap often leads to our bodies wanting us to eat more crap. If your diet of late has been a bereft, wow, that's a fancy word. I feel like that was a editor Nina word, bereft. Okay. If your diet of late has been bereft of nutrients, you may crave short-term energy boosts like caffeine and sugar. Side note to listener, my editor Nina, who's amazing, also the name of my sister, got confusing in family group texts or any conversation ever, she taught me the magic of a thesaurus. Because I write the way I speak for the most part, and I don't speak in a lot of fancy verbiage. So I learned a lot of new words through this process. Okay, back to reading. PMS. If you go through it, you know that these cyclical cravings can be pretty massively strong. Did I work out like a beast a few hours ago? Demanding a lot from your body in the forms of long runs, sweaty yoga, or heavy weights means you need extra nutritional love. Am I feeling flipping fabulous and want to celebrate? Call it self-sabotage or call it one of the weirdest habits of human nature, but sometimes when things are going swell, we'll latch onto a boo-hockey belief that we don't deserve to be happy and sabotage ourselves by popping Pop-Tarts and sucking down Oreo sleeves. In these moments, I imagine myself eating a couple of different things. Like looking in my closet to consider how three different sweaters would look with this one pair of jeans. I'll look in my mind and imagine how an apple, for example, would taste, or a homemade matcha latte, or even a leftover bowl of chili. Usually, the answer is crystal clear. One exception, my two-block rule. I'm blessed to live in a neighborhood with multiple artisanal vegan ice cream options within a 5-block radius of my home. Considering I still have scars from when I used to hack open a coconut, scrape out the meat, and use an ice cream maker to make my own, this is as shocking as it must have been when TVs went from black to white to color. And since ice cream is my favorite thing in the world, I find myself craving it a lot. I know better than to keep pints in my freezer. Even my homemade kale ice cream barely lasts 24 hours, so I make myself adhere to my 2-block rule. Ready? I don't go out of my way to satisfy a craving. Way too many times when I first moved to New York City, I found myself thinking that a vegan cupcake sounded nice, and before I knew what was going on, I was braless, meandering over to the city's then-best vegan bakery 8 blocks away. After I moved apartments, I realized how inappropriately committed I had been to fueling that particular sugar addiction, and the rule was born. If I have to go out of my way to get my fix, then it's a no-go. No food should have that kind of power over me. A clean craving never causes us to zombie walk anywhere in indoor clothes or manic panic pull us off the side of the road to satisfy it. Your 2 blocks may be a long detour to that bakery. It may be a $20 delivery charge because of a $5 cup of ice cream that doesn't meet your delivery minimum. It may be running out to the grocery store for chips because your body needs them now. Whatever your particular boondoggle, notice the difference between a calm craving and a crazy craving, because that's really what we're talking about here. Crazy cravings brainwash you to drop your kid in daycare so you can get your fajitas fixed, while calm cravings inspire you to ask yourself the aforementioned questions. So here's how to give in to all your cravings in 1, 2, 3, 4. Pause before mouth stuffing begins and simply notice you're having a craving. Brainstorm the healthiest and low-hangingest, fruitiest way to satisfy it. Eat it. If there's no obvious healthy substitution and you don't need to go out of the equivalent 2-block radius to satisfy it, then do it with a damn smile, because stress is worse for you than a pesticide. How to crave more plants. There's certainly not a shortage of healthy recipes around, yet so many of my clients, family, and friends still struggle to eat well. I eventually realized that it's not always about lack of food knowledge. It's sometimes about the mindset. Here are some tried and true ways to shift your mindset to help you want to eat more plants. Okay, I'm on page 308 for anyone reading along. Remember that food is fuel. Food gives us energy, energy to function, to work, to run errands, and to do all the things in life we love to do, whether that's traveling, stand-up paddleboarding, or playing ping pong. Since they are jam-packed with natural nutrients that are easily digestible, the energy in plants shoots right into our bodies. When we start to think of food as fuel, things like a midnight snack becomes unnecessary, because who needs fuel to sleep? And a healthy breakfast is an obvious choice, because who doesn't need fuel to have a tremendous day? You can't be healthy without being happy, but you also can't be happy without being healthy. Happiness and health go hand in hand. Like sushi and chopsticks, summer and banana ice cream from page 110, or smoothies and mason jars, you can't have one without the other. If you're choking down a salad with anger, resentment, and jealousy of your dining companion's double bacon cheeseburger, you're doing more harm than good. Negative emotions, especially while eating, can cause digestive distress, reducing your ability to fully absorb nutrients. So instead of forcing yourself to eat more plants, remind yourself that you're eating more plants so you can live a healthier and thus a happier overall life. Sure, the guy next to you is inhaling his juicy burger, but will he feel energized and satisfied later? I think not. But you, my plant-eating friend, will feel phenomenal. Eat that salad with all the joy and appreciation you can muster. Your future self will thank you. Ask yourself, is 30 seconds of flavor worth how I'll feel in an hour? This is a personal favorite of mine. Asking this question before reaching for that bread basket or ordering dessert or getting that third glass of wine has proven time and time again to help me make the wisest decision for my body. That dinner roll would give me maybe 30 seconds of palate pleasure, but would leave me feeling yucky, bloated, and unsatisfied just minutes later. Tap into your body's inner wisdom and use that to guide your decisions. When you gleefully pick the fruity sorbet over the decadent cake because you know how sluggish the latter will make you feel in an hour, you'll experience pride unlike anything else. The more alive your food is, the more alive it'll make you feel. Raw, aka living plants, fruits, veggies, nuts, and seeds, all have their nutrients intact. Because they haven't been heated, they come with naturally occurring digestive enzymes, which help our bodies break them down and absorb their nutrients with little to no effort. The less energy we spend on digesting, the more energy we have for exercise, spending time with loved ones, or figuring out that damn Sudoku. One taste isn't going to kill you, and this goes both ways. You're at a wedding. This was written pre-coronavirus, by the way. You're at a wedding. The non-gluten-free, non-dairy-free, non-refined sugar-free, three-tiered wedding cake is staring you in the face, and you can't even concentrate on doing the cha-cha slide without knowing what it tastes like. Have a bite and really take a moment to enjoy it. Same thing when trying a new plant-based dish. Steamed kale isn't the most attractive on the plate. But in this case, taking one bite can shatter any fears and misconceptions, and maybe you found a new fave meal. Nothing tastes as good as being healthy feels. Cliche? Maybe. But true? Definitely. Doesn't matter how good that deep dish pizza might taste in the moment. It can't possibly taste as good as living long enough to see your grandkids grow up, having energy to travel around the world, or maintaining the mental clarity to excel in your career feels. Give yourself emotional reasons to eat well. Visualize yourself skiing down the mountains of Colorado, feeling light and comfortable riding the waves on the Cape, walking your daughter down the aisle, always feeling strong and vibrant. When you give yourself emotional whys and pull those reasons up in moments of temptation, often the big picture will inspire you to push aside the cheese puffs. Okay, this next section is titled, Hello Body, It's Me, Talia. Classic. Listen to your body is the most frustrating advice on the advice circuit right now. Second place is to consult an astrologist over a therapist. LOL to one of my more recent episodes with an amazing astrologist. Listening to your body is far from a science. It's more like interpreting a poem or Drake lyrics or a Jackson Pollock painting, who I'm not related to in case you've been wondering all this time. All I can tell you is this. Food makes you feel stuff. That is a fact. The way we physically feel is not arbitrary. Food makes us feel good stuff, bad stuff, energetic stuff, sluggish stuff. If you can accept that the same way that we all know that music makes us feel stuff, you can begin to truly listen. And just like music, the volume of your feelings can vary. The more you tune in after a meal to figure out how you're doing, the louder your listen to your body volume will become. But like you intentionally put your headphones on your head to listen to music, you've got to intentionally listen to your body too. Once you notice, you won't be able to unnotice. You'll become empowered. You'll know that how you feel is up to you. Before eating, I always ask myself, does this meal match how I want to feel? Want to feel energized? Eat some fruit. Want to feel sluggish and stuck on the couch? Eat some fries. It's that simple. There are times that I'm on board with feeling kind of gross. In the winter, I am often perfectly happy eating something heavy that sinks me right down. The important thing is that it's a conscious decision and that more often I choose something that's going to make me light up. And you already know what that food is. Plants. WTF is willpower and how you can get it. Remember a million years ago, I asked you to get clear on the consequences of not eating right? I used the analogy about how thinking about the negative consequences of not having a charged phone, like tragically not being able to Instagram what you ate for dinner, makes you always want to have a charged phone. I said that getting clear on your consequences of not eating plants will help you always plan to eat more plants. That's willpower, baby. Willpower is the power of saying, I'll honor my why. The more you bring that into your consciousness, the more you will have. Think about how many times you've lied, snuck around, and done weird stuff to get something you wanted. Maybe you have a system to sneakily text your boyfriend at work, or you've quietly taken a call for a job you really want from the bathroom of your job that you really hate. When you have your mind and heart set on something, you make it happen. It is the same with food. If you truly want to feel well, you'll eat well. That's all there is to it. The empowered no. Okay, there's a little more to it. There's the empowered no, something I am very obsessed with. Saying no gets a bad rap. It makes us feel like we're boring, restricted, or missing out. But if your friend asked you to go skydiving, and since you're deathly afraid of heights, you wouldn't hesitate to respond with a big fat nah. Or if your office crush asked if you'd like a drag of a cigarette but you don't smoke, it'd be no struggle to turn it down. The empowered no for food operates under the same principle. When you're presented with a bowl of Funyuns, When you're presented with a bowl of Funyuns, if you know, since you listen to your body and are aware that food makes you feel stuff, that grabbing a handful will make the moments after eating them less than fun, it's no problem at all to demur. I whip out the empowered no all the time, like when presented with Jell-O shots, oysters, or caviar. My mother once said something about willpower that I'll never forget. We were eating lunch with my sister before going to try on my wedding dress. My mom had just tried on her own dress for my wedding and was not completely over the moon with how it hugged her 65-year-old hips. Over her bowl of risotto, she said, "I think I've aged out of willpower." I reminded her of the same thing I just told you. Willpower simply means saying, "I'll honor my why." Perhaps she'd lost touch with her why over the years when she cared more for her daughters than for herself. Or maybe her desire to feel comfortable in her jeans faded with 20 years of marriage. But later that night at dinner, seemingly out of the blue, her willpower reappeared in full force when she boldly passed on the breadbasket. Why being a picky eater is BS. My favorite soapbox to get on when I speak in public is about how not liking healthy food is BS. This is the biggest hit with the college students, but it works for anyone over the age of 21. Take a moment to consider the first time you sipped alcohol. I want you to be real with yourself. Did you like it? I'm not talking about if you liked how it helps you dance confidently at Susie's bat mitzvah, or encouraged you to kiss that hottie at the Super Bowl, or make you pee your pants laughing during Pictionary. I'm asking if you liked how it tasted. I'm positive that your answer is no. You did not like that first sip or even the 12th one, but you tried it again, right? Even if you don't drink alcohol for whatever reason, just stick with me for one more sec. Because you loved how it made you feel. You loved being silly and confident and goofy. So over time, your taste buds adapted because you wanted to keep the fun rolling. I will argue until the cabbage ferments that you can do the same thing with healthy food. If you can adapt your taste buds to booze, you can do the same thing for healthy foods. When you start to notice how certain foods make you feel, you will want to keep going. Your taste buds will learn to play along. When you were an alcohol newbie, you went for that Mike's Hard Lemonade stuff, right? Or Manischewitz, some of the sweetest stuff on earth. And after a while of drinking that alcoholic sugar, you started being okay with a vodka soda or a Sauv Blanc. Same thing can happen for you in green juice. Why not start getting a healthy green juice with loads of pineapple in it? It'll be super sweet, but you'll still reap its positive effects. After a few weeks, you'll be able to try green juice with a pear or an apple, and then no fruit whatsoever. Or fine, you've never liked broccoli. Cover it with a creamy sauce. Go on, eat it a few times a week under a puddle of ranch or cheese, and then one day, try the broccoli without it. Instead, roast it and smother it in red pepper pesto, page 209. I guarantee your taste buds will be on board. And just remember, the grosser it looks, the less gross it's going to make you feel. That's how I got through the first few green smoothies. As I started to feel better and more energized from my daily green treats, I started to look forward to my gross daily dose of liquid health. So that's hands down, spoons up, one of my favorite parts of the book right there. If you want to reread it, venture to page 305. So, you know, if I were to take all the questions I receive from clients and followers and friends and cook them down into a stew, I would wind up with a huge, delicious pot of willpower. So I've begun working on something to help you with that. It's a project I've had brewing inside me that I'm soon going to pour into a mug and share with you like the most delicious matcha latte you've ever drank. If willpower is something you're struggling with, I encourage you to please, pretty please, with an organic cherry on top, take my short survey to alert me of your willpower woes so I can understand the absolute best way to help you never woe over willpower again. Go to partyinmyplants.com/willpower for this 30-second anonymous survey that'll help me help you leaps and bounds. That's partyinmyplants.com/willpower. And that's a thank you so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. Don't hesitate, you know, to pick up a copy of my book, Party in Your Plants, wherever books are safely and sanitarily sold. And I will chat with you again soon.